The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Gary O'Hanlon is with me for the Thursday interview this week. Well known to many of you for dishing it out with Gareth Mullins. The podcast, of course, we've got to give that a plug, Gary. But executive chef as well at the K Club. Now, how long have you been at the K Club?
Since March.
How's it going?
Yeah, really good. Probably the toughest 6 months. I'm 31 years cooking professionally now, almost 32, and without a shadow of a doubt, I had many prayers and looks above and talks to myself this summer, you know, but it's been incredible. I knew it was going to be busy, but it really blew me away just with the depth of it, you know. But look, I was blessed with a good squad and I'm there 7 or 8 months now or so and loving it, really, yeah.
What's the challenge in a big complex like that?
I suppose it's consistency across the whole resort, really, you know what I mean? I've got high standards. Paul, our CEO, has incredibly high standards. He's only ever worked in a 5-star environment, and he's a big reason why I even wanted to be there in the first place, because I've always thrived in that sort of pressure. You're always searching for excellence, and 5-star hotels bring that, you know what I mean? And the K Club is certainly, you know, I've kept a close eye on it for a good few years, right before I went to the Chateau in France in 2019. And an opportunity to go there. So I've really kept an eye on it in particular since then. But, you know, it's you got to have great head chefs, sous chefs and pastry teams, obviously front of house management too. And we do have that. So, you know, you have the Palmer North, Palmer South, and there's a bit of distance between the two of them. Then you have the Barton, which is the fine dining restaurant and the main hotel building itself. And then you've got conference and banquet and a head chef that looks after that. So you got to map your time that you're in the right place at the right time and where you're needed. You know what I mean? So it's just all about planning, Kieran, really. And so far, I'm definitely getting better at it, you know.
Do you enjoy that kind of aspect of the job, the kind of the nomadic element of it, and moving around and trying different things? Because you mentioned the Chateau, you work in Stormont for a while, yeah, and other places.
Look, there's no truer saying that you fall back on your learnings and you fall back on your career. I mean, probably even as far as 2019 or even going back to 2008 when I came to Viewmount House, I wouldn't have been a good enough chef to take on the K Club, you know. I definitely, you know, between getting older, getting wiser, getting calmer, learning more. I mean, the private chef world and the private dining world that I was in France for 5 years was incredibly high end. Then I started my career in 93 at the Rosa Pena. You know, I cooked on Monday night for the Good Food Ireland Awards. There was 300 chefs and hoteliers and food producers in the room. And I did a dish on the 26th of June, 1993. It's a potato dish in the Rosa Pena. And that was the potato dish that I was taught to do on that day in the summer of 93, is the potato dish I served as the side on Monday night.
Yeah.
And it's incredible when I was showing the guys how to do it and you're tapping back to it. I said, it hasn't moved a muscle from the day I made it in the Rosa Pena till I made it on Monday night in the K Club, you know. But I've definitely tapped into every resource and I think some new ones over the last 8 months or so, for sure, you know.
So who are you learning from at this stage in your career? Who are the people you learn from? Is it other chefs, people with more experience? Is it people from other cultures, other backgrounds?
Definitely as a starting point, probably Paul, our GM or CEO. Like I said, really high standards, a brilliant career from the Marion, Glen Eagles, Adair Manor to the K Club, and, you know, also understands customers. So say, for example, when I was writing new menus after I took over, I wrote new menus for everywhere, really.
Yeah.
But the Barton almost right away, the fine dining restaurant, and then the Palmer. Now, the Palmer North is the Ryder Cup course. And, you know, we have an incredibly busy high-end bistro-type restaurant there. But, you know, I'd done a few dishes there that Paul's like, look, it won't work for there, but it'll work on Sunday. So you're really tapping into him and his expertise.
Okay.
And you're trusting that he knows the customer better than I know them. Now, I've got to know them, obviously, over the last while. And then you tap into that. But you're... every chef as well, you know, like Marek is my head chef of the Barton and the hotel. He's a Croatian guy. He's unbelievable. And, you know, I've got Callum in as my head chef in the Palmer. He worked for Marco Pierre White for 15 or 16 years. And he worked for me for a few years in another role a few years back. So I brought him in there because he's the smartest chef I've ever met. I do the creative. I don't need like a genius in there on the plate. Like I'll do the plate stuff, but I want to make sure I've got a really shrewd businessman running the kitchen there. And then Adam was another guy I brought with me, was my last ever hire in Viewmount House. He was my sous chef in France and I brought him there. So you put the right pieces of the puzzle in the right places. Like where I need smart minds, I have smart minds. Where I need creative chefs, I've got creative chefs, you know. So it's a jigsaw puzzle to get somewhere like the K Club humming from one restaurant to the next, front and back. And, you know, I'm really proud of where we are with it.
You worked in Stormont around the time of the Good Friday Agreement, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, in the late 90s, yeah.
Well, what was that like? Who were the type of people kind of in and out?
Well, I worked in the Stormont Hotel across the road, but one of the banqueting head chef was, I had a mixer. He did a lot of work in the castle. So every now and again on days off or for extra money, like I might have worked in the castle. I mean, literally, the avenue cuts across the Newtonards Road into the hotel. They're nearly joined at the hip anyway. But Ronnie Flanagan used to eat every day around 4 o'clock when the restaurant closed. There's two restaurants in Stormont. There was La Scala and McMaster's at the time. La Scala being the bistro, McMaster's the more fine dining. And Ronnie, like there would be an armed guard at the front door. I mean, everybody wanted to kill Ronnie Flanagan, like the IRA and the loyalist end of things. So he couldn't go anywhere. But it was incredible. Like I was an 18, 19-year-old chef. And, you know, brave and whatever. I probably, when I think back now to what I went through there myself, like I wouldn't be able to do that now. But back then, it didn't bother me in the slightest. But Ronnie used to eat.
When you say you wouldn't have been able to, you mean what?
Well, it was very sectarian in the kitchen. I was only one of, I was one of three or four Catholics in the whole building. It was not for the faint of heart, I can tell you now, to work in there, yeah.
And they made sure you knew you were one of the three or four Catholics, did they?
Yeah, they did, yeah. It was a really, really tough time. There was tit for tat killings happening around then as well. It was nuts. Like when I think back, like the hair would stand on the back of my neck when you think of it, you know. But Ian Paisley ate there three or four nights a week. The great John Hume was almost always in. Yeah, Ian Paisley loved salmon. He would, even when it came off the menu, he would love it. Very nice guy. David Trimble was in an awful lot. Yeah, there was plenty of them, you know. But Ronnie Flanagan always came in when it was closed and would eat by himself. I used to find that fascinating that he would eat in an empty restaurant.
And then for people who don't know, kind of storming out the end of the Newtonards Road out that way. Were you living around East Belfast?
Yeah, I lived on the grounds. I actually lived in a staff house.
What was it like living in that part of Belfast?
It was, you just couldn't go out, you know, like it's the only place in the world
you
I've ever lived.
You keep your mouth shut.
I couldn't join a gym, didn't play football. And when you wanted a pint, you went into the city. There was just absolutely no chance you could walk down the street for a pint. No way.
Isn't it amazing how much that has changed?
It's a different world. It really, really is. Yeah, it's beautiful to see how much it has come on. You know, I mean, obviously there's still quite a divide up in Northern Ireland, you know, like, but to what it was like when I lived there, it's night and day, you know.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So can I ask then about the time in France and the Chateau? Because what's that like going into working in an environment like that and in a country like that that is kind of such kind of renowned around the world for its culinary skill, its culinary history, its culinary culture, and you know, look, you might disagree. Dare I say it, a kind of maybe a reputation for a degree of snobbishness as well around that.
Yeah. Well, the beauty was
were they looking down their nose at this lad from Donegal, basically?
Well, they were looking down their nose at the French guys that weren't good enough to run it. Really?
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, I came in. And I brought another chef. I only went over for 2 weeks. And I always remember that morning I left. I said to my wife, because it won't be for 2 weeks. Like, I'll be going for longer. And 2 weeks, I was right. It was 5 years. So, you know, you basically became a personal chef to whomever was staying. Before clients would come, they just told me what they didn't eat. and then I would build it all from there. A big, big part of, like, I only ever had one French customer. So as much as you're in France and they would like to think the home of food and what have you, everybody spoke English. Guests came from all over the world. As I say, there was literally...
It's funny, when you go on the website, it's all English. I noticed that,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, well, there was only ever one French client in all my time there. And a big part of it, like breakfast used to be in a thing called the Country Kitchen, was always chef table style. And, you know, people were paying $35,000 a night to stay, you know what I mean? And that was... for what, 9 rooms, but it could be 2 people, it could be 18. Now, we did weddings and we did other stuff as well, and then that was a different thing, but it was very much a bespoke one-on-one service type thing, you know what I mean? Like, we ran it like a hotel, but you worked to how they like things on arrival, you know?
So they would just send you a list of things they don't want to eat. Yeah. Don't include these ingredients, don't include these dishes. After that, then, how would you decide? Would you look at where they're coming from in the world and try and tailor it that way? Or how, yes. what would go into the decision-making process?
Well, I would always... But people nearly always arrived at lunchtime on the day of arrival. So what I would do is I would plan that lunch. I would plan the first night's dinner. I would plan the first morning's breakfast and the second day's lunch. And then breakfast, as I said, was chef table style. So they would be in a room and some of them would be sitting up at a counter open around me. And breakfast was amazing. And then I would start conversation with them if they talked to me, like I spoke when I was spoken to, and you would always get feedback from my front of house team the night before. So you would always lean towards, you know, classics, and you know, my cooking is steeped in Escoffier anyway. Everybody that ever learned to cook in Ireland or was taught in Ireland, where you were taught the French way anyway. So they're very much getting even in the K Club today, like you're very much getting a taste of the foundations of French culinary whenever you eat from anybody around my age in Ireland or around the world. That's just how you're taught. And you know, I would go to the market because we were quite remote then as well. Like, that information over breakfast was gold dust. And Adam, he was joined at the hip to me. He would be taking notes. They wouldn't be aware of this, but we would always be taking notes.
Okay.
If they're really chatting about the seafood, or they go on and on and on about the filet mignon or the beef, or they go on and on and on about the lobster, you know that they're seafood fans. And just different little nuggets that you get. And then you would also size them up and say, listen, I was thinking about a little bit of some scallop tonight, maybe, or some filet mignon, or maybe a little bit of venison. I'm like, oh, that's lovely. And honestly, when they're in a place like that, they tend to put an awful lot of trust in you anyway. It's almost a given that you're not going to be poor at what you're doing, you know what I mean? Because, you know, the place was breathtaking, and it's no more than any of the big fine properties in Ireland. Like, I think expectation begins with the concierge at the gate, and you're coming in, and, you know, people just expect, and so do we, you just expect, as they would at the K Club when they meet the guys at the front, this is going to be special, you know?
So what's our culinary reputation now? Abroad, it's, the Irish one.
It has grown dramatically. I mean, on the ground and away from the media, we were always highly regarded for workers. Like, Ramsay has often said many's the time, like, if he's got 20 people vying for a job and there's one Irish guy or girl in the group, even with less experience, he'll lean towards them. Like the hard work is ingrained into us, you know, very similar to the Scotch and the English, you know what I mean? We've got a really good reputation for being good workers, fast learners and smart, you know. But certainly, look, I lived in Boston for 6 years, and, you know, the Irish pub probably killed the Irish chef because, you know, they think you're a shepherd's pie or a fish and chips merchant, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, you'll look at Irish chefs now, they're dotted around some of the best restaurants in the world, here, there and everywhere. And look, as far as a country or restaurants or hotels, the standard has gone through the roof, in particular in the last 15 years, you know.
You going to the football tonight?
Yeah, I am indeed.
In hope or expectation?
No, I expect. I think we're going to win tonight, yeah.
Okay.
No problem.
All right. Well, listen, enjoy it. Gary O'Hanlon, thank you for joining me. Gary is the executive chef at the K Club, dishing it out with Gareth Mullins as well. You can listen to on the News Talk app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.